twice a month, we sit down with Wyndham Town Supervisor Thomas Hoyt. It is time for another visit. Mr. Hoyt, I have a formal complaint. Would you like to hear it or not?
Have at it.
I was coming out of Wyndham Mountain last Sunday. I went to their spa there. You ever been to their spa? They got a steam bath and a sauna and massage and everything else there?
I can't say I have.
Well, it's pretty nice to go in there, but I tried to come out of there, and to come out, I have to get into the road that leads up to the ski slopes, and I sat there at least 3 minutes waiting for traffic to go past, and I'm not happy about it.
Well, I think as the owners of the ski slope, Mr. Siemens would be happy you sat there, because that means there were people skiing, and he's going to be able to pay the electric bill.
Right, the electric bill. But it was kind of interesting. I'd never sat there that long. And somebody finally stopped and weighed me in, which I thought was pretty nice. But yeah, that place was jamming this weekend. And I guess it will be all week.
All the kids are off, or the majority of the schools are off this week. And hopefully it's a good week for the mountain.
I'm amazed. The amount of cars there and the amount of people skiing. And I don't know how they keep it, that there's any snow there at all. I mean, the weather has been, like, ridiculously warm. I don't know how they do it.
It's been the whole East Coast this year, and the mountain has done a great job trying to stay ahead of it. Anytime there's a cold night, they start up just to keep some kind of skiing surface available.
You used to work there when you were a kid or in your younger years?
No, my mom worked over at Hunter Mountain, so I actually worked over there as a high school student.
Oh, right. You were involved with the Slutsky and all that construction stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because it is. It's pretty impressive. I mean, folks don't expect it to be Colorado or whatever, but it's fun to ski, and I couldn't believe how much snow was on the slopes. Very, very good job by the mountain.
Yeah, and they've been able to keep the tube park open as well. There's been a lot of people down tubing on the weekends.
Yeah, they seem to really enjoy that. They have mounds of snow down there.
Yeah, it's getting a little thin in spots, but it's still accessible.
Well, thin in spots, that sort of describes your hair, doesn't it?
That happens, too, when you get old.
All right, what do we got this week? Now, your meeting is Thursday night, and you have a flurry of public hearings. So let's get to the first one first, which is this NYMEP, which is the New York Municipal Energy Program. We've talked about it before, but remind us.
They're a broker for energy. They'll go out and they'll solicit energy companies on behalf of the town and get the best rate available. And then they'll bring a proposal back to the town, and if the town is happy with it, they'll adopt it, and that'll be the energy supplier for the residents of the town. You'll still have the same maintenance crew in case there's an outage, New York State Gas and Electric, or an install on your home. It's still the same maintenance group of people, but the supply will come from a different vendor, or it may be the same vendor that currently supplies the town of Wyndham. We do it for our water and wastewater plant because we have a lot of electrical use there. And I believe right now the vendor that gives us the best price is Marathon. But every year they come to us with a different vendor, with a different quote. We look at it and we move on one or the other to get the best rate for the town.
Hey, it's crazy with electricity. I mean, they're trying to do all this stuff where you can get whoever you want, but it's really not working out very well. Electric is crazy.
Down the other part of Greene County, the village of Coxsackie, they've went with this company to solicit prices for their community. And I spoke with town mayor Mark Evans last week, and Mark said it's worked well for his village.
Do they have to go to each home, or how does it work?
No, it comes right through the main transmission line. But everybody that has a service within the town of Wyndham or any town will get a postcard in the mail saying what's going to happen, and every homeowner has the ability to opt out if they want to stay with their current provider or if they want to go to the new provider.
So you also have public hearings on site plan and setback changes, those site plan regulations, and those are somewhat significant. So the site plan has to do with what?
The old site plan law hadn't been updated in numerous years. There was never a sunset clause on once a site plan was approved and when you had to construct it. So this new proposed law will be that once you get approval for your site plan, you have a year to get the shovel in the ground. If you don't get your project started within a year, you have two opportunities to come back within the next year to get extensions without having to go through the process again. It's a way to not allow a project get approved and not start construction for 5-10 years down the road. And as we know, the world changes year to year, not less 10 years later. So that was the main element for the site plan. And there's some other things we cleaned up within as well. We had a setback law in new subdivisions, and we had a setback in the Hamlet District, but we didn't have it for the rest of the town. So we made everything black and white so people can understand that any parcel that's over 2 acres, these will be the setbacks for 2 acres of land or more. If you have a parcel that's less than 2 acres, these will be the setbacks. Pretty straightforward clarification of what the antiquated law was. And we use that 2 acre number because that's the same number that we use within the site plan. So everything within the community be centralized and uniform.
Then you have your zoning committee. You're expecting to announce the members of this committee and then start looking into whether the town will someday have zoning.
The main objective is a uniform process to grow the town in a responsible way without losing the character, but still be able to keep the lights on.
You've gotten a grant to help you out with this.
We received a grant from the state for $72,000 to help with this process to pay for any studies or engineer or legal fees that may come in the process of looking into a zoning program for the town of Windham.
Speaking of legal things, I was at your last meeting, and there was a moment of levity, let's say. Torch Island, who is the town's excellent police chief, gave his monthly report, and there were quite a few parking tickets, but the local police department is kind of like Mayberry. I mean, when I hear what they do, it's pretty remarkable. So tell the story you told me.
We find some visitors or even local people that park in the wrong spot within the State Route 23. We try to hunt the person down or persons down. And if we see a black Suburban in front of a local eatery, the officer will kind of go in the eatery, knock on the door, and try to find out who owns that vehicle. And they'll say, hey, you need to move it to a different location. And 90% of the time, they can locate the person that left the car in the wrong spot, and the car gets relocated. If they're not able to accomplish that, then there is a ticket stuck to the windshield under the windshield wiper, and then they have a little fee that they have to pay at the court.
I've gotten one or two of those tickets myself in my day, but that's, I guess that kind of travels fast, doesn't it? That people might really appreciate that kind of, I don't know what you call it, a courtesy?
We don't like to write tickets, but sometimes you have to help educate people. I mean, the road is posted, no parking signs where you're not supposed to park. And we've had complaints from emergency people trying to get through town. And sometimes it's a real hindrance if we do have a little bit of snow when they park in the road. We have trouble getting snowplows through, and that's a big concern.
So last but not least is the ambulance center. And before I let you answer that, I always forget to mention that the ambulance center is also going to be serving as home for the Windham, Lexington, Prattsville, Ashland, Jewett senior citizens. They call themselves the Golden Agers. How's that coming over there?
It's coming. This past Saturday, there was a crew that was doing some sheetrocking this Saturday to make sure they stay on schedule. So that was great to see that. And the building's probably 90% insulated now. Veneer stone around the outside of it is 95% done. And you'll start seeing some hardy board siding go on in the next week or so. And at the same time, while that's going on the outside, the sprinkler system has been 50% installed. The ductwork is at probably 65%. Rough and electric is like at 95%. Plumbing's at 95%, so there's a lot of ticking parts going on right now.
Rumor has it that when this actually gets done and you have a ribbon cutting or whatever, that you're going to dance an Irish jig. Is that true?
That's a total fabrication by somebody.
Well, I think we should make it true, though. Can you imagine? Mr. Fink, are you with us?
I am, sir.
Can you imagine Mr. Hoyt doing a jig?
I think you fabricated that one. Sorry to throw you under the bus.
Well, maybe no, I did, but it's a good one. I'd see him do a jig. Him and the rest of the town council, like Kurt Gotcha and Wayne Van Valen, get those guys out there.
We will, when it gets finished, we will open up to the public to see what they invested in with us. You know, we'll have a little town ribbon cutting, not a elected official ribbon cutting. The people that paid the bill, they'll be doing the ribbon cutting.
So, anyway, the town is busy. It's bustling. There's no snow on the ground, but they had a lot of snow up the mountain, as we mentioned. So, Mr. Hoyt, your meeting starts early this week.
6:45.
6:45. You get all these public hearings in, and then you go into normal business, which basically is like watching paint dry a lot of time, but it's necessary stuff.
Yes. Like I say, it seems like there's a lot of moving parts going on right now. Like I said, you had difficulty keeping up with the electrical stuff and then site plan and setback, and there's a lot going on right now. Mm-hmm. Before I go, it wouldn't be right for me not to pass on to the public the passing of Louise McRoberts. You know, a World War II veteran. And besides a veteran, just a regular down-to-earth, real good person, and our hearts go out to Chuck and the family. You know, just real stand-up individual in the community.
Now, she seemed to be everywhere at once, that woman. I mean, she 99 years old?
Around there, I believe.
I actually have a story I wrote about Louise a few years ago where she received the Liberty Medal from the state Senate. Do you remember that?
I don't recall that, but I know she's been recognized for her work as a veteran and the community numerous times over the years, and well-deserved.
I just want to read a little bit from the story because it says it the best way I can think of. She was too young to enlist when the war was happening, but she eventually, you know, went on long enough that she could get in. And it said, Mrs. McRoberts had the distinction of serving, first helping the care for the wounded returning stateside during the Battle of the Bulge, which we all know was a horrendous battle, and later in Germany serving with General George S. Patton's Third Army, weeks after the surrender of the Third Reich. So this woman was right in the middle of it, for sure. And she brought that back with her, that sense of service, and was, like I said earlier, kind of everywhere at once. Jay, you crossed paths with Louise a lot, didn't you?
I certainly have, as recently as two and a half weeks ago or so at the last VFW breakfast event. Sharp as a tack, wonderful and smiling ear to ear. A great citizen, a great patriot.
You know, it's funny, we usually talk about men in this capacity, but, you know, serving in the war and heroes. But there she is, a woman, and signing up and doing all that stuff, so certainly no less heroic. And that cane, she threatened to hit me with that a few times because I was such a pest. So there you go, Louise. We have some information about what's going to happen next.
Mike, I spoke to Chuck. The obituary is being written as we speak, but he did tell me that there will be a memorial service in May. So watch the paper, and we'll have more information forthcoming.
Now, I have the feeling that Louise wouldn't mind. Tommy, there's a couple other World War II veterans in this area that she was often seen with riding in the, what do they call that car in the front of the parade?
The lead car.
Well, they have a better name for it, but in any event, she would be in the car with two other people. You know those two other people?
We have Tommy Bristol, and we have Pete O'Brien, who was, I believe, and actually grew up in the East Jewett Valley when he was a young man.
They served in the war, and they have stories that we see on TV and sort of can't believe, and these people actually lived it. And we would not be where we are without these folks. So we appreciate you mentioning that, Tommy. And as Jay said, there'll be a memorial service. And whatever the family does, they do, the community will know.
Yes, I think that's where we should leave it. Respect the family, see Chuck, give our condolences. And I think that's how Louise would love it.
Now, for those who may not know, Chuck is Louise's son, and he's a businessman in town. So that's who we mean by Chuck. And his dad was Charlie McRoberts, a legislator in the county and also a very active member of the community for many, many years. Okay, so 15 minutes early at the town hall Thursday night, Town of Windham meets. We thank you for your time as always.
Well, I thank you guys for the time.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.